Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joy. Shall we pray? So, Lord, as we look at your word together, as we unpack it, as we seek your voice in it, would you speak to us? And as well as we look at this whole area of our giving today, Lord, lead us and guide us and help us to respond to your call on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wonderful. So as we've mentioned, this morning is Giving Sunday. Can we have the first slide up, Susan? And then I think from there I can operate them. Thank you. Giving Sunday is the opportunity we make as a church every year, following on from our Vision Sunday, which we had last week, to think through our response to what God is calling us to as a church in the coming year and asking how we might play our part in his plans and purposes for us. Now, if you weren't here last week, I would really urge you to catch up online and to listen to what Dan shared with us, but on Vision Sunday. What Dan shared with us was a few things. Firstly, that we have refocused our core values under four main headings, which is welcome, worship, wisdom, and witness. And hopefully that's a memorable way of us summarizing what we are all about as a church. And we've also summed up our mission and our purpose with a new strapline, which is together with Jesus. And we hope that this reflects something of our desire to be a community across the generations together, drawing others in, centered around Jesus, seeking after him, being with him, working in partnership with him, and going wherever he leads us. And the final thing that Dan shared with us was a sense of God calling us this year, particularly to keep things simple as we work on ensuring our focus is right. And above all, our priority being to be with him, not just racing off with a load of activity, but perhaps being less Martha and more Mary, ensuring that whatever we do flows out of that place with being with Jesus first and foremost. Now, I'm very aware of the potential irony of following all of that up with Giving Sunday and saying, "So what are we going to do? We can't help ourselves, can we?" But nevertheless, I do want to encourage every one of us here to consider, if we consider ourselves a member of Holy Trinity, to carefully and prayerfully think through our response. And if you wouldn't consider yourself a member here, if you are visiting this morning or you're trying church out, please, of course, don't feel pressurized in any way to make a specific response to what is shared this morning. But I hope you will nevertheless find something of encouragement to take away. As a framework for all of this, I want us to look at the story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 10, which Joy just read to us. Now, many of us may be familiar with this wonderful story. If you were in Sunday school in the 1980s, you probably know the song. Zacchaeus. Yeah, I've got some thumbs up. Was a very little man. And yeah, exactly. There's some nods of recognition. It's a story that has quite a lot of comedy in it, isn't it? But behind all the drama of this story, I want to pull out a few aspects of the narrative that have really struck me and challenged me as I have sat with it this week. And the first question is this: how hungry are we to see who Jesus really is? I don't know that I've ever particularly noticed it before, but it really jumped out to me as I read this passage afresh. That as Zacchaeus climbed up that tree, it wasn't just that he wanted to see Jesus. Luke is very careful to tell us he wanted to see who Jesus was. And it's a very subtle difference, but I really think it's an important distinction. He didn't just want to see Jesus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. I'm sure plenty of us have tried to catch a glimpse of a famous person on occasion. You can tell me afterwards what celebrity spotting you've done. We had a bit of excitement as a family back in the summer on the way home from Peppa Pig World, as you do, when we'd stopped at a service station and we were drinking our coffee. And Jemima said, "I think that's Loki over there at the Costa coffee stand." Now, if you're not familiar with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Loki is one of the big characters alongside Iron Man and Captain America and all those heroes. And he's got his own spin-off series, and the Osgood household are quite into Marvel. So we love Loki. Well, he's an interesting character. But anyway, Jemima was like, "I think that's Loki." So obviously I got my phone out, because he doesn't, you know, look quite like Loki in the service station, but I got my phone out and I Googled Tom Hiddleston, which is the chap who played him, and I'm looking at the photos of him, you know, in normal dress, not in costume, and I'm thinking, is it him? And Jemima's like, "It's definitely him." Noah's like, "I don't know, I'm not sure." Anyway, at this point, he moves off to go to the loo, heads for the bathroom. So obviously, Matt does the sensible thing and kind of follows him, trying not to look like a total stalker, you know, keeping an appropriate distance. But we've got to work out, is this really him or not? So we all sit there kind of nervously excited. Is it him? Is it? I'm not sure. Matt comes back, like, "It's definitely him. Definitely him." At which point he walks out, gets in his car and drives off. We're like, "Oh, we totally should have asked for a photo," but it's too late. Now, you may be thinking we all need to get a life, and you're probably right. But the thing is, we didn't really have an interest in who Tom Hiddleston was. We didn't want to be his friend. We were just caught up in a bit of overexcited celebrity spotting. I wonder if that's what was going on for a lot of the crowd in this narrative that we read. As Jesus passes through Jericho and crowds line the streets to such an extent that the vertically challenged can't see Jesus, clearly all of them wanted to see him. That's why they're all there. But Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. This man who healed the sick and restored the broken and lifted up the marginalized and drew them in. This man who ate meals with prostitutes, even tax collectors. This man who wound up religious leaders and yet exuded wisdom as he taught. This man who spoke of love and forgiveness, who calmed storms, who comforted the distressed and sometimes distressed the comfortable. This man who welcomed children and sought after those feeling lost. Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus was. And so eager is he that he runs ahead and he climbs up a tree. Not a dignified look. But Zacchaeus doesn't care right now, does he, what anyone else thinks. His priority is he wants to see who Jesus is. And I love the way that Jesus never misses seeking after him. It reminds me of the woman who only has to touch the hem of his garment, even though surely the crowds were all bustling up with Jesus. But Jesus spots that woman and sees her intention. It's like he has remarkable intuition. Being God probably helps with that. The moment Jesus reaches the spot where Zacchaeus is up in that tree, he looks up. He no doubt meets Zacchaeus's gaze. And he says, "Come down. I must stay at your house today." And I think that's a crucial question for us this morning. Do we really want to see who Jesus is? It's very easy to be in the crowd. It's easy to come to all the church things, to enjoy the company of others, knowing Jesus is somewhere in the vicinity. It's easy to be around him without really seeking after him. But I think God is beckoning us to step into something more, to run ahead with eagerness, to climb a tree, to not care what anyone else thinks, to seek after who Jesus is. And as we do that, to know the joy of meeting his gaze, knowing we are seen and known and noticed and loved and invited into this profound friendship with him. What does it look like for you to seek a deeper friendship with Jesus this year? To know his gaze, to know who he really is. Because there's always more to know and more to learn about him, however well we know Jesus already. And I want to challenge us this morning to prioritize worship and to dig deeper into his word this year and to make space for prayer in the midst of our busy lives, that we would really know more of who Jesus is. Now, you might be asking, why on earth is she talking about all this on Giving Sunday? Isn't this the day of the year where we're meant to give you a long list of jobs that need doing and tell you everyone needs to up their standing orders? Well, I am going to get to that in a minute. But I also don't believe anyone ever upped their giving to the church, whether that's their time or their money, because they were nagged into it. And I would love all of us to think about whether we could get more involved in serving in a new area of ministry or giving more of our time and our treasure. But I don't want you to do it in response to me. I would much rather we all do it in response to Jesus and what he is calling us to. So it has to start with our pursuing him. But if we do that, what kind of a response will that lead us to? Now, Zacchaeus shows us, doesn't he, that understanding the extravagant grace of God leads to an extravagant response. Jesus does have a habit of turning things upside down for people. Verse 2 says, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. That's Luke's code for telling us that he was a massive cheat. Taxes were not regulated by HMRC. The system in this time and area was corrupt. The tax collectors took much more than they should. And the chief tax collectors almost certainly made extra from those who worked under them, as well as the people they took the taxes from. Zacchaeus would have lived a life of ever-increasing comfort and indulgence at the expense of everyone in his community. And it's probable that he was quite lonely amidst his life of luxury, if all his riches didn't really amount to all he'd hoped they would, perhaps. Is that why he wanted to see Jesus that day? However he felt beforehand, he has an encounter with Jesus and it all changes quite dramatically. As he announces, I'll give half of what I own to the poor and I'll pay back anyone I've cheated four times over. That is quite something, isn't it? And that's what real repentance looks like. It's not a mumbled, sorry, Lord, maybe I need to slightly change my ways. It is a total U-turn in the opposite direction. The whole trajectory of Zacchaeus' life changes course. And perhaps most notably of all, in the area of his financial habits. Jesus says, doesn't he, today salvation has come to this household. Zacchaeus has been rescued in every possible dimension, from the emptiness of his previous life into a rich relationship with God, from his sin and selfishness and the grip of greed into this newfound generosity, from being despised by the rest of his community to, we can only assume, being restored in his relationships with those around him. There is a whole healing that goes on in Zacchaeus' life. And that healing is upwardly with God, it's inwardly with himself, and it's outward with those around him. It's life-changing and life-transforming. And that is true salvation, and it changes everything. It's interesting, if we flick back to the previous chapter of Luke, we have the narrative where Jesus meets the rich young ruler. And he asks, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him to sell everything and give it away and follow him. And the rich young ruler is sad. And Jesus comments how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. But he also says what's impossible with man is possible with God. And I expect Luke quite purposefully lines up this incident with Zacchaeus straight afterwards in his gospel to make exactly that point. God can do the impossible. We don't become the people God wants us to be by following a formula or by trying harder to be good people. We become the people God wants us to be when we really see who he is. And we surrender our lives to him and we allow him to do that work in us that we cannot do by ourselves. Joyful giving is the beautiful response that comes from knowing we're loved and we've been rescued. And if Zacchaeus could know that just from having tea with Jesus, how much more can we know that by contemplating his death and resurrection, recognizing all that Jesus has given for us, that we might know fullness of life in him? So, having looked at our vision for this year, last Sunday, what might our response look like this Giving Sunday? First and foremost, I don't want to stand here with a list of things you can do for the church. I want to encourage us to give ourselves afresh to Jesus, to be with him, to know him more, to let him be our friend and our Lord. And that has to be our starting place. But of course, it is my hope and my prayer that individually and together as a church community, we will sense the ways in which he is calling us to give more specifically of our time, talents, and treasure. For some of us here, we might want to respond to Jesus by starting or increasing our financial giving to his work in and through us as a church. Not all of us will be in a position to do that. And if your circumstances mean you need to reduce your giving, we are very aware of the climate we are living in, then that is fine. But as we do invite you to consider these things, I want to just give a little bit of context about our finances currently as a church. This is where the pie charts come in. So Holy Trinity, like most of the Church of England, is basically self-supporting, okay? And nearly all our income comes from us, the congregation. Our budget for this year anticipates income of £460,000, or around that, 80% of which comes from individuals in this congregation, mostly given by standing order, but some one-off gifts in there as well. And the rest comes out from hiring out our halls, and some returns on investments and very few minor other things. Our outgoings for this year are anticipated to be £483,000. That money is spent in a number of ways. So £188,000 of that is staffing costs. For example, enabling Sue and SA to lead our work with children and young people, Matt to guide our worship and our prayer life here, our incredible admin team, Liz as ops manager, and Ella and Rebecca doing all kinds of things from looking after our services and events to communications to HR to safeguarding processes and about a million other things that most of us have no idea about. £64,000 of that goes towards outreach, funding evangelistic events and initiatives, and supporting various other charities such as Riverbank and KIC and LVA and Caris Kids and so on. £131,000 goes to our diocese through our parish support fund. And that might sound like a big figure, but most of that effectively comes straight back to us in the form of clergy stipends and housing for Dan and I. And the rest goes to support other churches in less affluent areas of South London so that they too can have a thriving mission and ministry. And about 100,000, in other words, just over a fifth of the budget, goes to the ever-increasing running and maintenance costs of working with a 150-year-old Victorian building. Note the buckets in the corner. The heating bills and the 1990s extension and keeping that in good order. And we have various questions about what we do with our buildings going forward. Now, if you do the maths, that means we have an expected deficit this year of £23,000. And the main reason for that is that, as with everyone else, our costs are rising, but our giving hasn't risen accordingly. And in a sense, that is not surprising. We know we're in a cost of living crisis because inflation has rocketed and our personal incomes haven't risen as much. And we're working hard to contain that deficit as much as we possibly can and reduce costs where we can. But honestly, we would love to do so much more. And our heart's desire would not just be to balance our budget, though that would be a great start. We would love to dig deeper into pursuing God this year. And I hope as we do that, he is going to expand our vision, both of who he is and all that he is calling us to do. And that might mean giving more resources to the work we do with children and young people, or providing more support for those in our community who are in all kinds of need. We want to be all about knowing Jesus better and making his good news known in Richmond and beyond. And I am excited to see where God is going to lead us over the coming years as we grow in our understanding of all that he's calling us to. And I believe he has wonderful things in store for us. And all of that will need resourcing. Zacchaeus discovered the true joy. That true joy wasn't found in hoarding wealth for himself, but in sharing it. And he saw that joy that real generosity bore, both to him and to others. Now, we are so, so grateful, and please hear me say a huge thank you to those who do give generously to support the work of this church. Thank you. And as I said, you may not be in a position to give financially at this time, but if this is something you've never considered, and you do consider yourself a member here at Holy Trinity, then please do prayerfully consider whether you might be able to give, either as a one-off gift or even better, because it really helps our budgeting, by a monthly standing order. If you already give regularly to support us, are you in a position to think about and prayerfully consider whether you might be able to increase that amount to help us meet our rising costs? And please, let's consider this together, not because we feel nagged into it. I really hope I don't sound like a nag this morning. But because we see Jesus and we see his kindness and his grace, and we want to play our part in financially supporting his work among us and sharing the amazing news of his amazing love with those around us. And because we're excited about the so much more that he's calling us into. So finally, whether or not giving financially is something that we are able to consider at this time, all of us have something to give towards God's work here at Holy Trinity. As the new strapline that Dan introduced to us last week says, we want to be together with Jesus. And all of us, if we consider ourselves to some degree members of this community, have some contribution to make. We all have gifts and talents that we can offer. And you know, the church comes to life when we all bring those things and offer them gladly and allow him to breathe his life into us again by his Spirit and propel us on to the things that he has in store for us. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a bit of time and space to consider our response. And again, if you're visiting us this morning, feel free to just use that time to reflect on what your giving to God might look like in whatever way is appropriate for you. But if you're a member here, we've got a specific way that we would like you to think about that. But first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here, first of all, just in awe and wonder of who you are and all you have given for us. Lord, you gave your everything for us. You gave your life that we might be forgiven and restored and set right. Lord, you have poured the riches of your love into our lives. You've made known to us the wonders of your grace, and we are thankful. And we worship you. And Lord, first and foremost, we want to see more of who you are. We want to understand more of your character. We want to dig deeper into your word, that we might know you better. But Lord, as we do that, we want to respond. As we understand more of who you are and what you're calling us to, we want to make ourselves available to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us individually, collectively, both now and in the days and weeks to come, as for many of us, we might want to consider and, carefully work through what our response needs to be. Lord, speak to us and help us to know what you are calling us to, that we might respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to have a couple of moments of quiet now, just to consider our response. Now, the one way that we can do this, and the easiest way, if you have the technology in your hand, is to scan that QR code, which will take you to a Google form. And that will invite you to consider all kinds of areas of giving to this church, be that financial, be that different areas of ministry and opportunities to serve, be that our participation in life groups, which is one of the best ways that we can really journey together with Jesus in a meaningful way. So if you have a device on you that you can easily scan that QR code, and there are also codes out in the Trinity Room as well if you want to do that and take that home with you. Obviously, particularly regarding financial giving, if you share your financial resources with somebody else, please talk to them first before you make big decisions about that. So yeah, we're going to have a couple of minutes. That we do have some paper copies of those Google Forms available as well. Graham, I think, and Diane have got those at the back. Fabulous, and pens. So if scanning a QR code fills you with dread, please do feel free to grab, maybe give a wave or go to Graham at the back, or maybe Graham, you can wander around and people can discreetly give you a nod, so if you'd like a paper version. But we're going to have a couple of minutes now just to access that form. If you're a member here, think about that. If you're visiting us, as I say, this morning, please don't feel any compulsion to do that. But just take this moment to say, well, where am I with Jesus? Where am I with being part of his church? What does this mean for me? And then we're going to, in a moment, continue in worship.